శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితామృత ఆది లీల చాప్టర్ 10 టెక్స్ట్స్ 2 through 7. టెక్స్ట్ 7 హ్యాస్ అ పర్పోర్ట్, సో ఐ విల్ చాంట్ టెక్స్ట్ 2 to 6 మై సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ దెన్ వీ విల్ చాంట్ టెక్స్ట్ 7 రెస్పాన్సిబ్లీ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు లార్డ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు అండ్ లార్డ్ నిత్యానంద. All glories to Advaita Prabhu and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas. The description of Lord Chaitanya as the gardener and the tree is inconceivable. Now hear with rapt with attention about the branches of this tree. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were many, but none of them should be considered lower or higher. This cannot be ascertained. All the great personalities in the line of Lord Chaitanya enumerated these devotees, but they could not distinguish between the greater and the lesser. I offer my obeisances unto them as a token of respect. I request them not to consider my offenses. Text 7. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I offer my obeisances to all the dear devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the eternal tree of love of Godhead. I offer my respects to all the branches of the tree, the devotees of the Lord, who distribute the fruit of love of Krishna. Purport. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami sets the example of offering obeisances to all the preacher devotees of Lord Chaitanya without distinction as to higher and lower. Unfortunately, at present, there are many foolish so-called devotees of Lord Chaitanya who make such distinctions. For example, the title Prabhupada is offered to a spiritual master, especially to a distinguished spiritual master such as Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada, or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. When our disciples similarly wanted to address their spiritual master as Prabhupada, some foolish people became envious. Not considering the propaganda work of the Hare Krishna movement, simply because these disciples addressed their spiritual master as Prabhupada, they became so envious that they formed a faction along with other such envious persons just to minimize the value of the Krishna consciousness movement. To chastise such fools, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very frankly says, Keho kori bare nare jeshtha lagu krama. Anyone who is a bona fide preacher of the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be respectful to the real devotees of Lord Chaitanya. One should not become envious, considering one preacher to be very great and another to be very lowly. This is a material distinction and has no place on the platform of spiritual activities. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami therefore offers equal respect to all the preachers of the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are compared to the branches of the tree. ISKCON is one of these branches, and it should therefore be respected by all sincere devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manamabhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू बी बैक अगेन एट द भक्तिवेदांत मैनर आफ्टर द ब्रेक ऑफ अ कपल ऑफ मंथ्स। The session, the topic going on here is, as Kaviraj Goswami himself says, an inconceivable topic, the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any tree has its branches. To understand the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with the innumerable branches is not so easy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been very picturesquely described as Prema Amara Taroho. Amara means eternal. Prema means love. Taro means tree. So he is the eternal tree of love of Godhead. So a tree produces fruit. But the tree doesn't produce fruit in its trunk. Very rarely do you find fruit sticking to the trunk of the tree. Some trees perhaps, I am not a botanist, but generally the fruits are found in the branches of a tree. The branches rest on the trunk, they emanate from the trunk, they are nourished by the trunk and the roots, and they produce fruit. And many, many people then enjoy those fruits. So similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the trunk and the roots are Madhavendra Puri. The seed actually is Madhavendra Puri, and then there is Ishwar Puri, and there are the great sannyasi associates of Mahaprabhu like Brahmananda Puri, Paramananda Puri and so on, who form the very strong roots. In this way, with very interesting analogies, chapter 8 and 9 has spoken about this example, this metaphor of the eternal tree of love of Godhead. In this chapter, the 10th chapter, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is speaking about the branches of this tree, which means the innumerable devotees who are counted amongst the associates, the intimate and eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is hesitant, as we can see from the verses that we have just read. He is hesitant because he knows that all of these associates of Mahaprabhu are exalted and glorious souls. And he doesn't want to commit any offense towards anyone, lest by his words, by slip of tongue, or by any way, he offer less respect to one associate and more respect to another. That would be making a distinction. So therefore he says, I offer my obeisances to them as a token of respect, but obeisances to all the dear devotees, not just a few. He is not becoming judgmental. He doesn't make a distinction. Many times it is very hard to understand the ways of exalted devotees, especially those who are associates of the Lord. Those who are associates of the Lord can't be ordinary souls. Their devotional service is not ordinary, and they haven't come to that position by ordinary devotional service. they must have done some extraordinary devotional service, at least those amongst them who were the sadhana siddhas, to have come to that position. And the nitya siddhas, or the eternal associates, they're always there with the Lord in any case. Once the sadhana siddhas, that is those who practice devotional service and attain perfection, become perfect, then they are considered in the same category as those who are eternal associates, because there is no fundamental distinction or difference between the kind of service that they do. So in the spiritual world, it's all mixed up in the sense that there is no distinction that, oh, this devotee was, you know, in London, you know, just till last year, now he's come and joined us, so he's a junior devotee, and, you know, so therefore we are going to, you know, pull rank. It doesn't work like that. Once the devotee enters the eternal pastimes of the Lord, then it's all, they're all together in a very unique and exceptional rasa. Of course, each have their own role to play. Some may be more intimate than others. And in the Nectar of Devotion, we read about these things amongst the gopis, amongst the cowherd boys. There are categories of intimate, more intimate, most intimate, and so on. But nevertheless, in a fundamental, absolute sense, there is no distinction. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. The associates of Mahaprabhu, some are his eternal associates, some are those who have become his associates by dint of their extraordinary devotional service over many lives. But regardless, they are all associates of the Lord, and therefore worthy of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's complete respect. Naturally, therefore, we should also be very careful that we offer respects to all the branches of Mahaprabhu's tree, to all the devotees, and that we don't make distinctions in a disrespectful way. By reading this purport, it would appear that there must have been some events going on with the other Gaudiya Vaishnava institutions or organizations that prompted Srila Prabhupada to write a purport like this. Because when Srila Prabhupada came to America, the devotees were very new and they didn't know the culture or the etiquette. They didn't know how to address him. So initially they just called him Swamiji because that's what they thought should be. But then very soon they understood that he wasn't an ordinary Swamiji. That there was something, something very special about this Swamiji. And in the course of one conversation, it came out very casually. You know, when Prabhupada was talking about how spiritual masters are addressed as Vishnupad and Bhaktipad, and he was meaning various such titles, and Prabhupad came up. And then somebody asked him, can we then call you Prabhupad? Yes, that's appropriate, that's all right. So it apparently came about in a very casual kind of way. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach the devotees that there is a certain etiquette in addressing the spiritual master. Actually, there are so many different rules and regulations that are difficult for us to follow these days. But at least the basic etiquette has to be followed. So from that time on, then all the devotees started addressing Srila Prabhupada as Srila Prabhupada. So when that started happening, then naturally the word spread, because the devotees would come to India, and then naturally they would also move in Vrindavan and Mayapur, and other Gaudiya organizations would interact with these devotees. And the devotees would refer to Prabhupada as Prabhupada, whereas in the Gaudiya Math he was known as Swami Maharaj. He was known as Bhaktivedanta Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and lovingly and respectfully addressed by his godbrothers and others as Swami Maharaj. You see, Swami is one of the sannyas titles, although in ISKCON, Swami is the predominant title used by most sannyasis. Sometimes it is Goswami. But there are actually 108 titles of sannyasis has started in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, adopted also by Shankaracharya. And amongst them, Swami and Goswami are just two titles. So Srila Prabhupada accepted that in his con, and when he gave sannyas, it was mostly just Swami, Swami, and sometimes Goswami. So Prabhupada's sannyas title was Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And Maharaj is a respectful term by which all sannyasis are addressed, regardless of the name, whether it's Swami or whether it's Janardhan, whether it's Keshava, whether it is Vamana, whether it is Sridhara. For example, B.R. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar, not Sridhar Swami. Swami is another title. Sridhar was his title. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar. And then you address him as Maharaj. B.R. Sridhar Maharaj. Like that. So because he was Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, so with the honorary suffix Maharaj, he was addressed like that, Swami Maharaj. But then here was this former Grihastha who had taken sannyas some years ago. He goes abroad to preach, and now his disciples are calling him Prabhupada. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also addressed as Prabhupada to the followers in the Gaudiya Math. So there was some consternation amongst the devotees in the Math, and they obviously criticized that. And Srila Prabhupada is referring to that here. So that this purport must have been written around the same time that all these things were happening. You see, many times in Srila Prabhupada's purports we find references to topics that were current. For example, one time he talks about certain political leaders who were in America or in India, or certain military situations that happened between countries, because these were the topics of the day. And when there was some relevant verse, then he would include that in his purports. So one can judge that this must have happened around that time. So Prabhupada was annoyed because he felt that this might disturb the faith of the devotees. This might affect their consciousness. And also fundamentally he felt it wasn't right for reasons that he has mentioned in this purport. Srila Prabhupada shone extraordinarily by dint of his own achievements. What many devotees failed to do, he succeeded in doing. Within a very short span in time, he had so many followers and disciples in the Western countries. He went into completely unexplored areas of the world, so to speak. And in thousands, devotees became his followers. And it was a very successful movement that had come. So it prompted even one of his godbrothers, and since we were talking of B.R., Sridhar Maharaj, he actually said that I consider him a Shaktyavesh avatar, in the sense not that we consider him God, but that he is so empowered by Krishna to preach. This is not a Mayavadi doctrine. We have to be a little cautious about this. But the idea was that he was definitely extremely empowered by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and also by Krishna, that he was able to achieve all these wonderful things. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravartana. So Kaviraj Goswami explains that unless one is exceptionally empowered by Krishna, one cannot make devotees. And especially in the number and quality that Srila Prabhupada did all over the world. So this was not an ordinary achievement. It was extraordinary by any standards of preaching in any sampradaya, even in the non-Vaishnava sampradayas. Not since the days of Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya and maybe a few acharyas after that, but even then not so much, was there such extraordinary preaching achievement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself established 64 mutts all over India, and that was certainly very extraordinary. So Srila Prabhupada's achievements following in the footsteps of his spiritual master were also extraordinary. And therefore, as he points out here, that when the spiritual, when the disciples address the spiritual master as Prabhupada, then certain other people become envious. Of course, one should note that the title Prabhupada is not offered to just any devotee. Prabhupada says here, for example, the title Prabhupada is offered to a spiritual master, especially to a distinguished spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada was by all means a distinguished spiritual master. Extraordinary accomplishments call for extraordinary recognition and sometimes even titles. So even here in England, I suppose you have somebody who is given knighthood and somebody is given some other title in recognition of that person's extraordinary achievements. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada was not an ordinary guru. He was an extraordinary personality. Therefore, the title Prabhupada was quite befitting. So he's making a mention of this point here, that one should not make distinctions of this sort. And this has no scope on the spiritual platform. Srila Kaviraj Goswami also is very careful to ensure that he doesn't neglect any devotees, that he's offering respects to everybody. And one by one he actually starts taking their names all through the chapter. And even beyond that, there are actually hundreds and hundreds of others. Mahaprabhu's disciples numbered thousands and thousands, and they grew by the day. So on one hand, we are asked to respect all the devotees of the Lord. But at the same time, we also understand from the scripture that some distinction needs to be made. Even though we respect everybody, we may not offer the same kind and degree of respect to everybody. We make distinctions. For example, the devotees would address Prabhupada in one way and the disciples in another way. One time at an airport, when I think Prabhupada was about to depart to another place, one devotee came on and said, in order to just bring some order in the commotion that was going on in the group of devotees, everyone wanted to be near Prabhupada, and the airport authorities must have got a little upset about that. So one devotee tried to bring some order in the devotee groups there. So he said, all right, Srila Prabhupada on this side and the devotees on this side. So then Prabhupada said, oh, so I'm not devotee? So then, of course, the devotee got flustered and tried to explain, no, what I meant was that actually you're such an extraordinary devotee, you're Prabhupada. You're not just devotee. So yes, devotees are all to be respected. At the same time, there are differences in the way and manner in which we would respect the different devotees. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Krishneti yas giritam manasadriyeta. Krishneti, that means the name of Krishna. Krishneti yas giritam. Giri means with one's voice or mouth. So if there is somebody who is reciting Krishna's names with his mouth, manasa adriyeta, one should respect that devotee in one's mind. At least one should offer respect, whoever he may be or she may be. Doesn't matter. If anyone chants Krishna's names, then that person is worthy of our respect. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also speaks something similarly when the devotees from a particular village who used to come to the Rath Yatra every year and get Mahaprabhu's association in Puri, one time as they were about to depart after their 4 months stay, they asked Mahaprabhu for instructions. And Mahaprabhu told them, you chant Hare Krishna always, and you serve the devotees, serve the Vaishnavas. So then they asked, who is a Vaishnava? So Mahaprabhu replied, anyone who has chanted Krishna's names is a Vaishnava. So they went back. And they were told that they have to serve anyone who has chanted Krishna's names. So the next day also they came around. And again as they were about to depart, once again they asked Mahaprabhu for instructions. And he gave them the same instructions. Chant Hare Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. So again Satyaraj Khan, who was the leader of the devotees, asked, who is a Vaishnava? So Mahaprabhu said, one who always chants the name of Krishna is a Vaishnava. That wasn't the definition he gave the previous year. In the previous year he mentioned, anyone who's chanted even once the name of Krishna is a Vaishnava. Now he said, anyone who always chants the name of Krishna is a Vaishnava. And in the third year, they again came. And as they were about to leave, they again came to Mahaprabhu and asked him for instructions. And Mahaprabhu gave them the same instruction again. Chant Hare Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. And yet again Satyaraj Khan asked the same question. Who is a Vaishnava? And then Mahaprabhu replied, he, simply by looking at him at whom one starts chanting Hare Krishna, is a Vaishnava. So these three different definitions of a Vaishnava are not contradictory. They just indicate different levels of advancement of Vaishnavas. So we respect and serve everyone. But Mahaprabhu wanted to point out the inconceivable oneness and difference in this, simultaneous oneness and difference in this. We respect everyone, we serve everyone, at the same time, we also know there are distinctions. There are differences in the way in which we serve levels of devotees. Otherwise, we might commit an offense. In our eagerness to serve everybody equally, if there's a very exalted soul and we treat that exalted soul on the same platform as one who has chanted Hare Krishna only one time, then that would not be right. So some discrimination is essential. At the same time, as devotees, we know that, or rather we don't know, who somebody is. And that's a very deep question. So many people come into our association when we come into ISKCON, and everybody is a devotee. Now, who is what devotee? Very hard to say. Who's going through what journey in their spiritual evolution? And somebody may be in some activity or position, it is not very advisable or very praiseworthy, but you never know who that person is, who that person was, what is the history of this person, what kind of exalted devotional service the person may have performed, and we never know who is going to go back to Godhead first. So we talk in terms of senior, junior, and sometimes we may get proud, I'm senior because I'm around for so long, so on and so forth. These are very artificial distinctions. As a matter of etiquette, it is necessary to follow this principle, to recognize that seniority. It is important, otherwise it will become wishy-washy and offensive. Out of genuine respect, one should make that distinction. At the same time, at an absolute level, we really don't know who is who. Who is how exalted? And who will go back to Krishna when? So therefore, in dealings with devotees, one has to be very cautious. We may have somebody coming into the temple who is an absolute novice or a newcomer, doesn't know anything of anything, apparently, in Krishna consciousness. But we don't know, actually. Who is this person? Who this person is? After doing Krishna consciousness for a few years, we may recognize, actually, this person is such an exalted soul. Our acharyas, when they took birth in this material world, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, or even Srila Prabhupada for that matter, it wasn't much recognized as to what they would be in the future. Of course, there was some prophecy there, because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew he had prayed for a ray of Vishnu and then Bimala Prasad was born. The signs were very auspicious. And even when Srila Prabhupada was born, he mentions that he said that his father did a horoscope and the astrologer said that he would actually conquer the world and it'd be like a great king and, you know, things of that sort. So there was some foreboding of what would happen, but not exactly. It's not likely that Srila Prabhupada's father knew exactly that he would go worldwide and establish ISKCON like this and have thousands of disciples and create a revolution in this world. So therefore, when we deal with devotees, we should be a little cautious and respectful to everyone. It doesn't matter whether somebody is, you know, very much so-called junior to us or so on. Of course, we should be respectful to everyone who's senior to us. But even to those who are our peers and who have come after us in Krishna consciousness, we should be very careful to be respectful to them. And we shouldn't criticize as well. So Rupa Goswami said, even to a person who has chanted Hare Krishna or Krishna's name once, manasadriyate, at least mentally we should offer respect. And in dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantam isham. For one who has accepted initiation and bhajantam isham, who worships the deity, one should actually physically offer obeisances to one who is initiated. But of course, even if one is not initiated, but one is a very staunch follower, you know, from one point of view, shiksha, diksha doesn't make a distinction in the absolute platform. So if somebody is a very dedicated soul, regardless of diksha or, you know, or not, one should offer respects. There's no harm in offering respect. This is for one who's in, that's the second category, Rupa Goswami says. And then he goes on to say, Shushru Shaya Bhagana Bhajana Vidya Mananya Manya Nindadi Shuni Ridami Psita Sangalabdhya. He says, for those who are Bhajana Vidyam Ananyam. Vidyam means one who is very expert or very intelligent. So one who is expert in bhajan or in devotional service, and ananyam, whose devotional service is undeviated and one-pointed. To such a person, one should serve menially and physically if necessary. Shushrushoho. So for a person who is very exalted in devotional service, one should physically serve. And what is one of the important characteristics of that person being very exalted? Nindadi shunyam. Anya nindadi shunyam. That is, the propensity to criticize others is zero, shunyam. He doesn't have a propensity to criticize others, and especially devotees. So this is the distinction that is made. There are many such categorizations that are made. Haridas Thakur speaks at length in the Harinam Chintamani. Mahaprabhu has spoken at length in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. So we have to balance both these things. On one hand, we respect everybody, we serve everybody, but on the other hand, we also are careful to make certain distinctions and have some discrimination there. There are some people who follow certain paths, certain religions, if you may, and they say that we will not offer obeisances or respects to anyone. Especially the deity, they say we can't offer obeisances to the deity. It's against our principles, against our religion. But the fact is that this is Krishna. Of course, there's some people who don't offer respect to anybody. There's some people who say we'll offer respect only to God, but not to the deity, because they don't believe that the deity is God. And there are some people who say, well, I'll offer respect only to the deity, only to Krishna, but to nobody else. I know people in all these different categories, and I'm sure you all do also. There was one brahmachari many years ago, and he had some little differences with some other devotees, and I somehow was asked to sort out the thing. So then I quickly got to the root of the problem and understood where the problem lay. Because this brahmachari was saying, in the course of the talk, it was just a casually dropped sentence, but that revealed everything and why the problem happened. He said, I don't respect, I don't offer obeisances to anyone except Krishna. I said, really? Now that's something that's not quite our philosophy. And interestingly, then I met another devotee who said very similar thing in another context. He said, I offer obeisances only to Krishna and to my guru. And I said, what about the other Vaishnavas? So you see, a Vaishnava, a devotee is one who offers respect. Prabhupada mentions this, not just to Krishna, not just to Guru, not just to the Vaishnavas, but to ordinary living beings and even to the ant. So why should we be so resentful of offering respect to other devotees? It's a sign of envy, and that's the point Srila Prabhupada is making here. Then one should not desist from offering respect to others out of envy. A Vaishnava is one who becomes very happy when he or she sees excellence in others. Or he or she sees wonderful services being done by others. It's a source of joy, not a source of envy. So this is what Vaishnava society is meant, is like. And this is what it should be. Of course, human frailties are very strong. We carry a lot of baggage with us coming from many lives. And these things are there in the heart and they may trouble us from time to time. But at least we know what we should be doing and what we should be striving for. Therefore, it is so essential to hear these things, even though we may know them, but to repeatedly hear these very simple truths of life. They can be very stabilizing for us. They can bring us down to the ground reality of Krishna consciousness, that this is how actually we are meant to be. So service to the devotees, respect for the devotees, is non-different from service to Krishna. In the Nectar of Devotion, the famous verse by Rupa Goswami, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyanavritam Anukulena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktiruttama. He defines the standard of pure devotional service as one which is devoid of any fruitive mentality, of any desire for liberation, where there is no material desire and so on. So it is Krishna Anushilanam. So that devotional service must be centered on Krishna. Rupa Goswami doesn't mention anything else apart from Krishna. So he mentions Krishna in order that we should not start worshipping somebody else, meaning the demigods or some human being, etc. But then, what about the Vaishnavas? What about the Guru? Should we not worship or should we not serve and respect the Vaishnavas? So Srila Jiva Goswami says that therefore the word Krishna includes all these things, because Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his devotees. Srila Prabhupada also used to say that you will never see a picture of Krishna alone. He is either with Srimati Radharani, or with the gopis, other gopis, or with the cowherd boys, or with a cow, or with a peacock, or with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and so on. So Krishna is never alone, he is always with his devotees. Therefore when we say that we serve Krishna, within the term Krishna is included his innumerable avatars and incarnations, and also his devotees, and all his paraphernalia. His holy abode, his personal belongings, like for example the deities, the garlands offered to the deities, the outfits of the deities, they're all worshipable for us because they're connected to Krishna. So Srila Jiva Goswami makes this important point that devotional service to Krishna includes necessarily devotional service to the devotees and to everything connected to Krishna. So we don't make a distinction. And to make a distinction actually is offensive, and Krishna is displeased by that. In the West you have a saying, love me, love my dog. Because people are very fond of dogs in the West, isn't it? They like to look after dogs. And I remember I went to some temple And they had some Western people who came. And they said, "Why do you people only serve the cows? I'm willing to donate dogs to your temple. And I'll pay money for the maintenance of the dogs. So you should also look after dogs." Now, it's not that we dislike dogs or we hate dogs and we want to kill them or something like that. We should be merciful and compassionate to all dogs and all living entities, but not inside the home. They should be outside the home. And Srila Prabhupada said, the dog is a creature that sometimes passes urine on tulasi. Therefore, it's a very unclean animal. And when in every house you're supposed to be worshipping Krishna, so if there's a dog around or a cat or something like that, they're going to dirty the place. And then the standards of cleanliness and purity will not be maintained. So the Vedic culture teaches us to actually be compassionate on all living entities. So we, outside the house, we can actually feed the dogs. Here you don't have stray dogs. Whatever is stray is shot or whatever, I don't know what they do with it. I mean, something like Vrindavan would be unthinkable of here when you have monkeys on rampage. You know, you're really caught between two things. On one hand, you know, there are monkeys and they create havoc everywhere. You know, all of us have been subject to some or the other thing. I've lost slippers, I've lost spectacles, I've lost money, I've lost prasadam, I've lost a whole lot of things to monkeys. I'm sure many of you have as well. And one time in Vrindavan, they entered into my room and I was in the bathroom and a baby monkey came in and the baby couldn't get out of the room because it had a hinge door, somehow managed to get in. And I was taking bath, stepped out and saw there was 1,000 monkeys. I mean, not 1,000, I was exaggerating. But there must have been at least 20 or 30 monkeys and those macho types also all outside the door. And they were growling and making hell outside. I came outside with this monkey baby up and down in the room. And the brahmacharis from next door, they came with sticks, but they fled hastily because these monkeys were something else. They really got after them. And even the bravest of the brahmacharis couldn't dare to come nearby. So anyway, finally, somehow or the other, they managed to drive away the monkeys for a little distance, and then the baby monkey wouldn't come into my hand, so then I opened the door and went out. The baby monkey went out. Then they were all happy. So the monkeys create a lot of nuisance in many ways. So the West, a normal non-devotee or anybody, especially Westerners, they're bewildered. They say, why didn't you just kill them? Or why didn't you just catch them and put them in a, you know, something, some cage or whatever, something to do. But that's the dilemma, because they are Brajavasis. And they were all devotees in a previous life. They committed some offenses and therefore they became monkeys in Vrindavan. So what do you do? So Prabhupada used to say, neither you should be friends with monkeys, nor neither you should be enemies. You should just be neutral. It's dangerous to be either with them. So in any case, so there's animals, you feed them outside, even dogs. The Vedic culture says, feed them in the fields, take care of them, look after them. If you see a sick dog, no harm in treating, because a Vaishnava is compassionate. We wouldn't say, oh, it's just a dog. All right, yes, we can do something. So we respect all living entities, we respect and, you know, we are compassionate to dogs, but doesn't mean that we serve them in the way that we would serve the devotees, or we would serve Tulasi, or we would serve the cows. So rather to amend that, love me, love my cow. See, Krishna says, you love Krishna's cows, and then Krishna is pleased. You love Krishna's devotees, Krishna is pleased. For those of you who are grihasthas, you know that when you have children, and if somebody praises your children, then you are very happy. Even more than if you were praised yourself. Because that gives a certain kind of happiness. So similarly, the devotees are very dear to Krishna. So if we serve Krishna's devotees and love them and keep them happy, then Krishna is very happy. Therefore, in the Adi Purana, Krishna says to Arjuna that one who is my devotee is actually not my devotee. But one who is a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. So there are innumerable references like this. So the important point is that we have to realize our good fortune that we are in the midst of devotees and try as far as we can to serve the devotees and not make too many judgmental errors, so to speak. So Kaviraj Goswami here now is expressing his own apprehensions. He's doing it tentatively, hoping that he wouldn't make any offense or any mistake. And then from the next verse onwards, he's going to start naming some of the notable devotees there. So we'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments...